Okay, here we are back. Lots of information this hour. Dr. Faustus today said there is no reason Americans can't vote in person in November. Interesting. Signaling. Interesting. United States Postal Service, meanwhile, back at the ranch, the USPS mail sorting machines are mysteriously being deactivated ahead of the election. Well, we know Trump and the Trump machine, speaking of machines, are doing everything they can to take mail-in balloting off the table. It really is a crappy way to do things, and there have been, I forget what the figure was we talked about last night, how many phony mail-in ballots there were. It's too easy. Nearly half of American voters fear difficulty casting their ballots in November for the election. So 50% of the people are worried for one reason or another, probably a lot of them because of the virus, about going to vote in November. But Fauci said there's no reason Americans can't vote in November. Okay. All right, I've got a story up there in headlines as well. These are the coronavirus symptoms you're likely to get first. Interesting. The one that bothers me, and I mentioned it earlier tonight, this is not good. CDC says that 25% of young adults, that's Generation Z, have contemplated suicide during the pandemic. This is what we talked about. Some of the downside of lockdowns, completely yanking the rug of life as these young people understood it. They grew up with big time sports. All of a sudden that's gone. There's going to be PTSD and other results from that, psychological, and many other things, many other things. We have put 25% of our young people in a state of mind and uncertainty and confusion and fear and angst and anxiety that they actually contemplated suicide during the last 6 months. This is not good. Not good at all. PCR tests, again, in The Guardian, The Off Guardian, being called into question for various reasons. I've got something called The Mirror Project, coronavirus documentary. I looked at 5 minutes of it. It's interesting. It's worth a look. Yale professor says hydroxychloroquine haters are spewing misleading and toxic disinformation. A Yale prof. Okay? Another survey says that more than a third of Americans wouldn't want a coronavirus vaccine if offered one. Some polls, as you know, have said in excess of 60% wouldn't want one either. So anyway, there we are today. Let's find out from Dr. Henry Nyman what the latest is from the White House. What's going on with the president, Henry? What's he doing?
Well, it kind of depends. On the pandemic, he's basically doing nothing. He had another briefing today and no news on the pandemic. He listed some of the PPEs, et cetera, that were in the pipeline to be delivered. And he kind of read off a list of them. It's hard to know exactly whether those are going to be enough. I think he was talking about 95 masks from 3M and, I don't know, like a million masks a day or something, 39 million in a month. I'm not sure that 39 million is going to be that many masks. But, you know, he kind of read off things that were coming. He didn't really say much about the pandemic at all. He's the only speaker. Most of the questions are on other topics because he doesn't really say anything again about the pandemic, even though it's supposed to be a pandemic daily briefing. And He did say something, you know, like most things, he kind of answered two different ways to the same question, but he kind of implied that he wouldn't veto a bill that provided relief to the post office. And then he kind of said, but he wouldn't pass the Democrat bill that had $1 trillion to bail out the states or something. So he kind of implied that a bill with a bailout he wouldn't pass, but if they somehow did the post office separately, that he wouldn't veto that. And that was about it. They basically tried to blame the Democrats for
that's just called politics.
It's all so I mean these briefings are more or less political in nature, and
wasn't very long, huh? Not, short, I guess. So that's why they call them brief.
No, you're right. They have been relatively brief. The number of questions have been relatively limited. And like I say, he kind of reads off a list. This time he was reading off a list that of PPEs and ventilators and things that were in the pipeline that were going to be delivered. He did. I mean, he still has no plan. He wasn't really talking a whole lot about testing. He wasn't really talking about getting back to school. He wasn't talking about providing any funds for to help schools open up. That's what I say.
Of leadership. Nothing.
He says nothing about it. He just tries to give a list of things that he's done and he's working on, and to really address the pandemic. And I mean, today the number of cases was the highest since a week ago, and it hasn't really finished updating from California. It's liable to go above last Friday, and then it would be the highest it's been in 2 weeks when it was back, pushing 70,000 cases. Right now it's pushing 60,000 cases. There have been 57,763 so far, but that's California's been running late, and those numbers are as of 6:30 local time, and they usually have another update. They usually give a final number as of 10 o'clock local time. So there's a good chance there'll be 60,000 new cases today. The number of deaths topped 1,000. There's 1,197 so far, but there's a chance there'll be another 30, 40 deaths in California before the night's out. And so each day this week topped 1,000, deaths. And so, the numbers are increasing on the worldometer. There's over 170,000 deaths now. It's projected to get up to 180,000 deaths by the end of this month. The number of cases is already up to 5.5 million, so that should be up to 6 million cases by the end of this month. And none of those are dependent upon what's going on in the schools. So I kind of wanted to go over a little bit of an update on the schools, because the school openings are going to be the driver based upon how things have gone historically. And and they'll be the biggest change in the near term. I mean, there'll be a little bit of a change for the holiday, but opening up the schools, there's been some that have opened in the South. More were opened this week, and then more are slated to open up later this month throughout the country. And so all of that will be a lot of students going back to school, both K through 12 as well as college. You know, kids are, students are already going back to college, you know, getting set up in their dorms, et cetera. And I'm anticipating an explosion of cases in September. And so these numbers, you know, of what they'll be at the end of this month are not going to be where they end up. That's going to be where they're getting ready to take off for next month. And the reason it's so concerning is because the numbers are as high as they were. Like I said today, there were over 57,000 new cases and almost 1,200 deaths. And both of those numbers are probably going to go up a little bit. So there'll be around 60,000 cases and maybe 1,300 deaths. And that's kind of the plateau. I mean, that's the level it's been all week. It's been 55,000 cases each day and between 1,000 and 1,500 deaths each day, you know, not counting the weekends. And so to open up classes with that level of virus in the country and an even higher level of virus in selected states is just a recipe for disaster. And Fauci had said that he wasn't real happy with how things were going. As far as scientists inputting into the task force, there's really not a whole lot coming there. Like I say, these briefings, the only person talking is Trump. And, you know, some reporters asking questions. And
would you like to see Jared Kushner pushed out there again and let him make an ass of himself? Just for change of pace.
No, Trump's not going to give up the microphone. I mean, Trump, you know, basically had the one guy out there come up to say things are going well with the schools, but that was it. The guy who comments on Fox, his expertise is MRI. So I mean he's used to looking at magnetic resonance images. So they're kind of in the Department of Neurology. He has zero background in virology or epidemiology or public health. And he went, you know, he's the only person that's been, you know, up at the briefing, you know, said anything at the briefings other than Trump. So Trump is not giving up the mic to anybody. He's not having any of the scientists on his task force. I haven't seen I mean, they're not even there. They used to kind of sit on the side. Well, they used to stand up there on the stage. You
they
know, without,
have been banished.
Right. So, you know, like I said, Trump is pretty much anti-science. He's pretty much given up on the science. And, you know, he would push the hydroxychloroquine, but, you know, there's really no evidence, no double blind studies to support that doing anything. And that's kind of coming into the news. That's what I wanted to get to. And I didn't quite get to it yesterday. But just as a reminder, we're going back to Georgia and the Cherokee School District. And they were in the news a few days ago with the, it might have been almost the beginning of the week, I guess, with the opening of the schools and the masks being optional and the corridors being jammed shoulder to shoulder. And one student took a picture and got detention, and then it got revoked so that she didn't have the detention anymore. And then another student took a picture, another high school in the same school district showing the same thing. And it was pretty clear that that wasn't going to work out that well because Georgia has been reporting 3,000 to 4,000 new cases each day this week, and deaths are starting to creep up in Georgia also. But there's a lot of virus in the state. The governor had opened up the state. Even Trump said that he had opened it up too early. And it was just a matter of time before the numbers started to go up. And then that was going to be exacerbated by starting school. So Cherokee School District had all these kids, most of which weren't wearing masks. They were estimated that 10% had masks. There was a little more detail about it. They did offer a hybrid, you know, that the parents could pick whether they wanted in class or whether they wanted online. Something like 70% chose in class, so they didn't even have the level of, the density of the students wasn't even reduced that much since most opted to go in class. And then the results of that started to come out this week with one student at this school, one student at that school, testing positive within a day or two of the start of classes. And last I saw, there were about 1,200 students who were at home under quarantine because they were contacts of a lab-confirmed case. And I think they had something like 15 confirmed, and they had 14 more that were symptomatic and had been tested, and they were waiting for the test results. And it really sounded like it was a disaster. Most of the teachers thought it was a disaster, and they were being asked to go in and teach under these circumstances, and it really wasn't safe because most of the students weren't wearing masks, and they were getting positives in school after school. I think they had positives in something like 21 different schools, if you counted the elementary school. But most of the detail was on a couple of the high schools where I think between the two of them, that's where the 30 positive cases were. So those were in just a couple of high schools. There were more positives throughout the elementary school. So it was described in detail in the New York Times a couple of days ago. And, they had comments from teachers that were concerned. And then they had a comment from one of the parents who had a couple of twin boys that went to school there. And her name was Jenny Beth Martin. And they noted that she had started the Patriot Party and was one of the founding members or something along those lines. And and then they noted that she had also organized this event in Washington, D.C. And as your listeners might recall, this happened several weeks ago. And it was a group of doctors who had called a press conference in front of the Supreme Court building. And one of the doctors from who had been trained, I think, in Nigeria, Stella Emanuel, spoke. And then Trump basically posted the video of the press conference and the statements of the benefits of hydroxychloroquine and she denounced the real placebo controlled clinical tests, he said those were fake news. You know, she had the real data. He had this clinic, the Rehoboth clinic that she had at her Twitter account. He gave the address. It was a strip mall that basically, if you looked at it, didn't really have mm-hmm. anything about the clinic. It just had this Firepower Ministries, which she also was involved with. And and she got a lot of bad press, but she did get a lot of hits. I think she had something like 8 million views or something. As I said, Trump had reposted. He got banned for Twitter for about 12 hours. He couldn't post anything because he had violated their rules.
Community guidelines.
Right.
The community comes first, remember? It takes a village. Community. Root word, communism.
Well, no.
Just having a little fun. Having a little fun, Henry. Don't worry about it.
Right. It was the guidelines he was violating was putting out false information on the pandemic. And so that was the reason he was blocked for 12 hours or so. They came down fairly hard on that. And And just as a reminder, the group had taken out the website, which was America's Frontline Doctors. They had bought that domain name about 10 days before this event. And that domain name's been pulled down and it stayed pulled down. And it was difficult to get a whole lot of information. I actually saw it before it got pulled down. Mm-hmm. And the doctors that held the press conference were all pretty much listed as consultants, and so it seemed a way to funnel money to these various doctors to go and say a few words about the benefits of hydroxychloroquine. The Twitter account that Stella had, was saying, come to the clinic, we've got hydroxychloroquine, it's best when it's caught early. Even if you have mild symptoms, come on in. And that pretty much explained the testimonial, if you will, that she said, oh, she's treated 300 cases, none of them died. They all benefited from the hydroxychloroquine. And I had said previously that, to do a trial, for a drug that was touted to be preventative or to be useful for very early treatment would be very difficult with COVID, because 80% of the patients that get COVID recover without any treatment. And so you could pick whatever treatment you wanted and say, oh, we got 80% recoveries on this. And if you were doing mild cases, you might very well be getting close to 100% recovery, regardless of what you treated them with. And so if you treat them with hydroxychloroquine, you could say that was why they got better, but you wouldn't really have any data to do that. You would have to have a control group that had placebos, and it was clear from the size of this clinic, well, it looked like it had 2 or 3 people in it. And,
standing room only, I get it.
It wasn't even a clinic. I mean, if you look at the Google pictures of the strip mall, they were taken like a year ago or so. And a year ago, the clinic didn't exist. The only thing that was there was, this Firepower Ministry with books and pamphlets that they were there.
Was Stella involved with the Firepower Ministry?
Oh yeah, that's hers. Yeah, that's all right. That's at her Twitter account. Yeah, that was her location. Mm-hmm. And I mean, she had come from Louisiana under less than ideal circumstances. You can just Google her name and throw in Louisiana and see why she left Louisiana, but it wasn't for a good reason, or at least the articles gave reasons.
Right.
But the bottom line is that, you know, this press conference of doctors, you know, giving, you know, little speeches on hydroxychloroquine, he was the one that stood out as far as Trump was concerned. So he noted, you know, all these doctors who said that hydroxychloroquine worked, you know, and she was the one that he singled out as being very impressive. And he not only did that the day he posted the video of the press conference that got him banned on Twitter for 12 hours, but he did it the next day at one of his briefings. They raised questions because he talked about
seriously. I don't think the hydroxy
type cures.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, the hydroxy thing is not going to go away. It's a controversial subject, so we shouldn't waste a whole lot of time on it. It's going to be here. Whatever the good or the bad of it is, it's just going to be around.
Well, Trump bought millions of dollars worth that he's trying to unload.
I know.
He's got to keep it in the news. I'm not sure there are any clinical trials ongoing anymore. Several.
That's what I heard about was France.
Which didn't show anything. No. And so it's mostly, you know, they're not even anecdotal. They're essentially testimonials because there's nothing approaching a clinical trial. They say, well, I had X number of patients and all benefited from this, and with no controls, and you know, it's well known that 80% don't. But the point is that that there's this combination, and I had said, you know, several days ago that it was almost like they were looking to keep the pandemic going. That you know, there's, you know, all the kids have to go into school.
Everything
they don't go to school,
points in that direction.
Withhold,
that's right.
They're going to withhold the dollars, and now there's a controversy with the. With the vote by mail. And, you know, I don't know who you're quoting on saying it's not safe, but, you know, that's pretty much nonsense. You know, there's several states that have been doing it for years. I think
it's not safe in terms of the count. Now, we have absentee mail-in ballots. Oregon's a mail-in ballot state. There have been several recent stories of enormous numbers of disallowed email vote. Look, the whole system is not running right. The only way to have an accurate count is by paper ballots individually hand counted.
Well, that isn't going to happen.
There's only one state doing it.
Well,
yeah, I know they're paper. I get the idea. They're going to feed them into a computer.
The ones for mail are by paper. And here
it's
in Pennsylvania. You not only have to sign it and they compare the signature, but you need a social security number that matches
the name.
So it's not like, oh, I've got this blank ballot. I'm going to go ahead and fill it out and put whoever I want in and send it in. You got to have a signature and a social security number.
The old style is the only thing that'll work for me. That's just me.
So, in any event, the mail controversy is getting bigger.
He put in some flunky as postmaster general, and he's shutting down mail counting machines and sorting machines now. Go ahead.
Well, it's a step beyond shutting down. That these sorters are designed, you know, they're highly efficient, and they're I think they sort 35,000 letters per hour.
Oh, and, they're essential to the Postal Service.
They cost,
essential.
They cost millions of dollars.
That's right.
And they're, I had the number, I think it's 571 have been removed or scheduled for removal. And they're not removing them like putting them into a warehouse. And, you know, if it's some cost savings that when they kind of get something set up a little bit more efficiently, they'll kind of take them from one location and move them to the other location. They're throwing them in the dumpster. They're destroying them. No, they are in dumpsters.
Oh my!
They are being destroyed.
This is as Trump would say, disgraceful.
Right, and so this isn't a cost-saving move. This isn't routine.
Oh, he's weaponized the Postal Service. It's politicized.
Right. After a year, I got it. 671 machines have either already been removed or scheduled to be removed.
Jesus. You know how long it's going to take a priority letter, which is supposed to be 2 days, to get delivered if they take these machines all down? It'll take weeks.
Right. Well, they already are. People get medicines by mail and they're not getting their medicines online. There's delays of, you know, first class is taking a couple days delayed. Bulk are taking like a week delayed. And then they sent out letters to 46 states. There's only 50. So they sent letters out to 46 states. And they said that they can't guarantee that if somebody follows the deadline by the state voting department, you know, if you order a mail by mail ballot and follow their instructions, as you have to get it in the mail by such and such a date, they sent out letters that if a voter follows those instructions, they can't guarantee that that vote is going to count. They can't guarantee that they can process that. So between the time you request a ballot, you receive the ballot, and you send it back in, that they are saying that they can't ensure that by the time it gets to the voting site, it won't be past the deadline, and so that they may be disenfranchised. And they sent these letters out to 46 states. So they are trying to sabotage.
Damn close to being unconstitutional.
The Postal Service is in the Constitution. It's been around for a long time.
I know.
And
this is really stepping on the edge.
Right. And then they're pulling up all the mailboxes. They were doing this in Montana. Well, they're doing it across the country.
But you mean a corner mailbox? They're picking up corner mailboxes.
Exactly. They're carting
this
them
is
off.
Insane.
They're taking them. They got pictures showing them in trucks. They had like 50% of the mailboxes in Montana were being scheduled for removal.
Hell, and, I would think that'd be Trump country.
That's it. I mean, part of the problem is that, I mean, there's two different sets of data. There's one set of data by a survey as to whether you plan on voting by mail in this upcoming election, and it's something like 70% of Democrats and 45% of independents and 25% of Republicans are planning on voting by mail. So it's heavily skewed towards the Democrats. And so by that survey, it would seem that if they could block that, that would, you know, upset the plans of Democrats, or if they went ahead and did it and they got disqualified, that they would, you know, preferentially disqualify, Democrat ballots. The Republicans are dominant in rural areas and a lot of rural areas. You know, they're not that densely populated, and a lot of the population does vote by mail because it's not that convenient to actually go vote in person. And so a lot of Republicans in rural areas use the mail for voting, as well as a lot of other things, because they rely upon it because of the distance they have to travel and do a lot of different things, that they just basically are very dependent upon the mail service, and they like the mail service. and they've noticed that, yeah, things are slowing down, that the things are coming later than they normally do. And I give all these examples on how, you know, there's no overtime, and they're cutting back on the machines, and they're normally, if they've got stuff ready to go and it's going to take an extra 5 or 10 minutes to get it loaded up, they load it up and they're told to leave it. And so it literally stays at the post office, doesn't get delivered.
Wow.
And then
wow,
it creates a backlog, and then it continues to increase. So apparently they have agreed to stop pulling down, carting off the mailboxes. And so I guess they got complaints. Senator Tester, I think, called the post office and said, well, you know, that his constituents use these mailboxes, and they either they're carting them off and they're planning on taking 50% of the mailboxes out of the state of Montana. And that apparently led to a halt in Montana, which then was extended to a halt throughout the country, because they were doing this nationwide. You know, I don't know if they were doing 50% of them nationwide, but they had these long lists of mailboxes that they were physically, you know, unscrewing them from the sidewalk and putting them on a truck, and I don't know where.
Well, look, everywhere you look, there are despicable things going on everywhere, every side of the ledger. I don't care. This country is in real grave trouble. Obama now is coming out and making it quite clear that he is not a fan of the creeper at all. He doesn't think Biden is worthy. He's got serious doubts about him. Everything is chaos everywhere you look. It doesn't matter. Everywhere you look. And if you haven't seen those videos of Biden with the little children, you haven't lived. You got to look at those. I mean, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter where you look. You see madness, incompetence, insanity, craziness in Biden's condition, pedophilia. I'm not afraid to say it. I'm speaking for me, not you. I have never been more disgusted by what I see in this country. We don't have a representative government at the top level. Locally, yeah, okay. County, maybe. But after that, forget about it. That's my opinion. Go ahead, Henry.
Okay, well, in any event, regardless of the politics, the pandemic is moving right along. And so to give you a little sense as to what the numbers were today, the number of cases, like I say, has been the highest it's been since last week. It's probably going to be the highest it's been in a couple of weeks. There were like 57,000, over 57,000 so far. And just to give an idea of how widespread this is, and this is now before school really gets going and before Labor Day kicks in, but the states that had over 1,000 cases today are as follows. California so far has 10,361. Illinois has 2,296. Florida has 6,148. Louisiana has 1,298. Texas has 7,018. Georgia is 3,227.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio has 1,131. Indiana has 1,067. Virginia has 1,216. Tennessee has 1,947. North Carolina has 1,1346. Missouri has 1,427. Wisconsin has 1,071. And Nevada has 1,099. And Kansas has 1,338. So that's just today. Those are just the ones over 1,000. Quite a few of them had 800 or 900. And most of the other states had at least 500. And that's why there were almost 58,000 and counting, probably going to end up being about 60,000 cases today. And that's in addition to almost 1,200 cases and counting, it'd probably be about 1,300, not cases, deaths today. And so the virus has not really, you know, disappeared in April. It has not really had a major decline. It's kind of flattened out in the 50 to 60,000 cases a day range. And it's going to get this big bump by the holiday weekend, as well as the back to school, and it's affecting the sports, but not completely. The SEC, the ACC, and the Big 12 are all planning on going ahead and starting their seasons in the next few weeks or so. And that'll just kind of get things really revved up. I'm not sure what they're doing about fans, but I thought they were going to have fans. And I thought that it was somehow going to be in the 50% capacity range or something. I think there might be some
with masks.
Yeah, sure. There's not going to be any masks. We'll see. I really haven't heard a specific on whether there were masks or not. There aren't masks in the school to any appreciable degree. Most of these three conferences are concentrated in the same area of all these issues with the schools and all of these states that have at least 1,000 cases a day. And some of them have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7,000 a day. And so there's lots of virus floating around there. They're going to start sports. They're going to start, you know, in class, on-site classes. And it's going to be a disaster. I mean, there's no way you can have a virus this contagious and have this many cases that are being reported without the classes, and then go and concentrate all of these students on campuses that have, you know, 30, 40, 50,000 students, and, you know, stadiums that hold 80,000. So there's only going to be 40,000 there. You have 40,000 people. And even if it's outside, they're going to be screaming and yelling, and football teams are going to be traveling around. And, you know, they're just going to concentrate the virus. The cases are going to explode. And the seasons aren't going to get completed. You know, they're going to go a couple of weeks at the outside. You know, maybe a month. You know, they might get a month in. You know, three,
right,
four games.
All right. We got to go another direction. We got 5 minutes here. This is important.
Okay.
Now, we've gotten so many stories about X number of Major League Baseball players testing positive. We've got football players. We've got this.
Right.
We've got students.
Right.
We've got politics. We got all of it. But nobody who is involved that I've seen with these so-called protests in various big city venues around the country are A, being tested, or B, becoming infected. And I think they're just keeping it all to themselves, and they're not wearing masks, and they're out there cheek by jowl down the streets yelling and screaming and all this other crap. No statistics yet on any of those demonstrators or demonstrations. And I'm wondering if you've heard anything about that, because that's the ultimate melding of living, breathing, inhaling, exhaling, spewing viral types of people.
Well, the demonstrators I've seen, the majority are wearing masks. The demonstrations
I'll send
are
you some
outdoors.
Videos.
They're moving around, and that's... Most of the infections you get are indoors, and people don't have masks, and that's where you get the transmission. There really hasn't been any reports of major outbreaks in these cities that are linked to the demonstrations.
That's what my point is. That's exactly right.
The conditions aren't what they are for classroom. Or for other gatherings, even outdoor dining where you're literally, you don't have masks, you're eating and you're sitting at the same table. And, or bars that, I don't know, there's as many as there used to be, but, people go to bars.
220,000 businesses, 60,000 restaurants are gone, never to return. That's the damage. 200,000 small businesses, medium, small, gone.
And when they looked at it, at least here in Pennsylvania, when they looked at it, they found that the two main sources of the new infections were younger people that went to bars or those that went to the ocean, to beach, vacations. And they came back and brought the virus with them. So that's what they were finding.
I've seen a lot of those. Yes.
In Pennsylvania. Now, speaking of Pennsylvania, it sounds like they're trying to delay fall sports until January.
January?
At the earliest in Pennsylvania. I know they have cases in Beaver County, which is adjacent to Allegheny County, and they got problems with football teams and with soccer teams. These are preseason, and that's probably just going to get worse. Tom Wolf, I think, just recommended they delay the Pennsylvania Athletic Association for PIAA is for high school. They've delayed 2 weeks for a decision on whether they're going to start the season or not. So the season's going to, if it starts, it's going to start late. Based upon my boots on the ground here in Pennsylvania, I'm pretty confident that there's a lot more positives than they realize, from the outside. I think the schools know how many positives they have. And I think that if they start, it'll be even shorter than it is that I predicted for the colleges, because they're going to have positives when they walk in the door. And I mean, I've already heard of people here in Pittsburgh now. So it's, once you start hearing of people that is a contact, even if it's a couple degrees away, that's an indication that there's a fair amount just floating around. And there's no doubt that that's going to show up as soon as they start testing when school starts. School's, schedule will start in a couple of weeks. And they're gonna be positive on these teams, and they're not gonna have a season.
All right.
my guess is they're not even going to start the season. And this is going to be, you know, across the country. This isn't specific to Western Pennsylvania. And that's what the prediction is, that things are not going to go well in the fall, and the sports aren't going to get going at all. So,
got it.
We'll see, and we'll see how things shape up over the weekend, and give another update next week.
Thanks for everything, Henry, as always.
Okay.
Take care.
Have a good weekend. Take care.
Right.
Bye-bye.
You too. Okay. That's our program for you, all of you, wherever you are around the world tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll be right back with you Monday live. And in the meantime, we'll be, you know where we'll be. Come to the site, watch the headlines, and take good care. Talk soon.